getting you healthy, happy, and doing what you love. You're listening to Tonic Podcast, the podcast of Dr. Tanya Winchester. Dr. Tanya is a licensed naturopathic doctor, acupuncturist, body talk practitioner, and edutainer with a passion for helping reduce pain and suffering and bringing more love, joy, and health into your life and into the world. The natural medicines and therapies mentioned in this podcast are not intended as medical advice or as a substitute for seeking medical attention. For more information about Dr. Tanya Winchester, visit Dr. Tanya, T-O-N-I-A, Winchester.com. This is Farah of Tonic Podcast. I'm here with Dr. Tanya Winchester, and our subject today is so incredibly important and vital. We do it every day, and that is sleep.
Hopefully we do it every day. Yes, sleep. Oh.
Why is sleep so important? What happens when we sleep?
When we sleep, we recharge our batteries. Think of yourself like an electric car. You need to be plugged in at night so you can do your driving the next day. So sleep is such a fascinating topic. It's how we recharge our energy. It's when we heal, when we consolidate memories, when we learn. You know, it's not the time you spend studying that you're learning. It's actually in sleep that those memories are kind of plugged into place. It's when we detoxify. It's just such an important component. And sadly, most adults are very underslept.
Which doesn't surprise me. You mentioned some of the things that sleep is important for. So memory, brain, in terms of detoxification, digestion and liver, in terms of healing, that would be all systems of the body.
Correct.
Anything else that it is important about sleep in terms of just physiologically?
It's like a reset button. I think I've kind of covered the main things. Do you have something in mind that you wanted me to say?
No, I was just thinking, have we covered everything about sleep? Because it is such an important reset for the body.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly might have missed something, but I think the most important one is the healing. Like, we won't heal if we're not resting, if we're not sleeping, right? So, you know, we can do all the right things in the day, but if we are not getting into the proper stages of sleep, we will not heal our bodies.
And you mentioned most people aren't sleeping. So is that something you see at the clinic where people come in and have disturbances in their sleep?
Yeah, it's either sleep onset disturbances where they have trouble falling asleep. I'll have patients that it might be 3-4 hours that they're in bed not sleeping. Then there's sleep maintenance disturbances where they're waking up in the night. You know, a common time is people will say 3 a.m., which in the Chinese clock, people will say it's liver, and that's partly accurate, but it's actually the 3 a.m. is the transition point between the liver and the lung meridians. So sometimes we can kind of see the place that they're waking up and identify where we need to be working in the body physiologically. And so those are the two main types of sleep disturbances, but it could also be night terrors, sleep paralysis. These are other experiences that just do not replete us and instead deplete us.
And depending on the type of sleep problem, you would have different solutions.
That's right.
What about just basic sleep hygiene and basic things so that people can understand how to get better sleeps?
Yeah, and one of the big things these days is all the blue light that we're exposed to. So screen time. And yeah, I know there's those filters that will take the blue light out and kind of make your Netflix all orangey at nighttime. But the blue light will actually affect your ability to create and release melatonin in the body. And that's our sleep hormone, right? And another one, a big one these days is stress. I see this very commonly. The stress hormones are the most important hormones in a sense. If the body's under stress of any kind, whether it's an emotional stress or a physical stress, the body will preferentially choose to produce cortisol above anything else. So survival becomes the most important thing. Thriving is put on the back burner. And so cortisol is a bully hormone. It will bully melatonin. So if cortisol is elevated in the evening or in the middle of the night, say, melatonin can't come up and do its job.
Well, that's a whole other topic is stress, but you know, that I know we've covered in another podcast, but I want to talk a little bit about blue light.
Yeah.
How important it is it for people to unplug from electronic devices before sleep?
Yeah.
And how long should that transition be?
Yeah, I say it is one of the easiest ways these days to impact your sleep quality. And I would say if bedtime is 10 p.m., I would stop all blue light at 8 p.m. Instead of watching a movie, read a book. Instead of playing games on your iPad, maybe play a real game, like maybe some actual cards that you touch, mm-hmm. for example. And it also, kind of a different topic for a different time, but also then gets us interacting with humans
mm-hmm.
as well.
So a couple hours, 2 hours, ideally say, yeah. before bedtime, it's best to not have any blue light.
Yeah.
Which, you know, makes me think about people who fall asleep watching TV.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
things like that, which probably causes much disturbance.
Yeah.
But okay, so stress and any specific, very practical tips without going into too much detail.
Yeah.
That would be helpful for managing and handling stress.
Yeah, and we're going to come back to those two amazing words, move and rest, right? So movement, I actually will recommend for people that are feeling stressed or anxious, sprinting as a strategy. So sprinting mimics what we see animals do in nature during stress, that fight or flight response of that, say, lion chasing the gazelle. They're both in fight or flight. And say that the gazelle survives that experience, it essentially has used that run, that sprint, to put itself back into rest and digest mode as opposed to fight or flight mode. And same with the lion, it doesn't catch the gazelle, but the stress response that allowed it to chase the gazelle is now going to be released because of that sprint. So sprinting, and I suggest 30 to 60 seconds of something really intense. And this could be part of a regular workout, but it can stand alone. So say some burpees, jumping jacks, running on the spot, running up some stairs, really intense and max effort, as you know, as hard as you can go for no more than 60 seconds. And I would do that 3 to 4 times per day.
3 to 4 times per day.
Yeah.
And that will just help reset the rest.
Yeah. It's what's required. So as humans, we don't have that same physical release when we're stressed. We sit at our desks and we take the stress and we just let it pile on and pile on and pile on. We don't have that same physical way of dissipating it. So this sprinting is a proactive way of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other component of that was rest. And so deep breathing is a very, very powerful tool. And before bed, there's some data I've seen that if you spend just 11 minutes deep breathing into your belly, you will triple your melatonin while you sleep.
Wow, that's powerful.
That's powerful.
So simple. Yeah. Doesn't cost anything.
Free, that's exactly it. Yeah, and then the third recommendation I'd like to make, actually, so we talked about movement and rest. The third is actually sex. So orgasm releases oxytocin, which is the one hormone in the body that will supersede cortisol. So we can override that elevation of cortisol with that oxytocin. So practicing things like orgasmic meditation, which you can, I think I have a blog on it, I can link us to that. That's a way of, again, lowering stress so that sleep can do what it needs to do for you.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. I didn't know that oxytocin, which, does it only come through orgasm or are there other ways of
touch?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I've got an article on touch. We can link to that too. Touching will stimulate it. It's basically our bonding hormone, so it's being close with other people.
And that's what gives us the ability to de-stress.
Yes. Oh, yeah, there's really good data about that. Yeah.
So back to sleep. Mm-hmm. So managing stress, we have some strategies now.
Yeah.
Turning off blue light. Are there other things that are really helpful?
Yes.
In terms of eating,
yes, I was going to say, exactly. So food is also a really big player. Now, there's so much that we can talk about when it comes to food. Ways that it can affect our sleep is if we're eating junk food, If we're eating a lot of sugar, that's kind of going to jack us up. If we're taking in too much caffeine, that's going to jack us up. If we're drinking too much alcohol, that actually will change our ability to go into REM sleep, which is when one of the important phases of sleep. So those are three substances just on their own that can impact the quality of sleep or the quantity of sleep. But also food allergies are really important. So I find personally when I'm eating my food triggers, I will get terrible nightmares. And so my dairy mares, I call them, and I will be up just stressed from these dreams. Not a fun way to spend the night. And so if we can identify and eliminate those reactive foods for us, very, very commonly our sleep quality improves.
Well, I know that garlic is one that keeps me up.
Oh, garlic. Okay. Yeah.
Literally, I can't go to sleep or I'll wake up at a certain point where I can feel it lands in my
Right.
So interesting that you mentioned food.
Yeah. And rice is one for me that will actually keep me very restless. I don't have the same nightmares, but I just don't get into a deep sleep when I eat rice.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, that's a great example of, and garlic, great examples of like healthy foods, but for us as bio-individuals, not great fits.
Yeah, and sugar, caffeine, and alcohol may be part of people's routines in terms of late night things when you're studying, having caffeine or having sugary snacks or even going out late and having a drink, which can interfere with our sleep.
Yeah, there's this whole sort of roller coaster of hijacking the physiology that can happen, and it starts as soon as we get up because we haven't slept well, so we're tired. So we drink our coffee and and then we don't eat breakfast, and so then we crash because our blood sugar is low. So then we go for the muffin or the donut or the cookie that's in the staff room. We kind of pick ourselves up for a little bit, and then we crash again once that sugar wears off. And then, you know, we come home from work and we're super tired, so we have some more sugar of some kind of snack, and then we're jacked up from that, so we use the alcohol to kind of unwind us. It's this amazing roller coaster that I see all the time.
And the point is to get off the roller coaster.
That's right. Yes, exactly. That will help sleep.
So what about people who might be going through hormonal changes, and that might be affecting their sleep in terms of night sweats or in terms of just hormonal changes that also have an impact?
100%. Yes. You know, we think of progesterone and estrogen as being mainly reproductive hormones, but they have hundreds of other functions in the body. And actually, from a progesterone perspective, one of its downstream metabolites is a molecule called pregnenolone, which will lead into melatonin. So having adequate progesterone is really important. Now, unfortunately, with progesterone in our late 20s as women, that hormone does start to decline, whereas estrogen stays pretty stable, and we end up with something called estrogen dominance. And that can be very impacting on sleep quality and quantity. So using herbs that might sort of buffer and support our progesterone, and maybe making sure that the liver is properly detoxifying that estrogen, those are ways to kind of impact those hormonal changes. And then peri and postmenopause, we're looking at very similar things, except now the estrogen is low too. And so now we don't have the right sort of biochemical machinery to keep the blood vessels intact. So then we see those hot flashes, those night sweats. And certainly there's lots of stuff naturopathically that we can do to balance that out as well.
Just on a side detour, where is progesterone made?
Well, in the ovaries, but also in the adrenal glands.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a really great example. If you look at the very complicated diagram of hormone production in the body, we see that cholesterol is the backbone of our adrenal and our reproductive hormones. And there's a few pathways. It has a pathway. One option is to go down and produce progesterone. One option is to go down and produce cortisol. And I'm simplifying this here for this, you know, this podcast, but again, if we are stressed, this is called the pregnenolone steal. The body will preferentially choose to produce cortisol and ignore the progesterone, ignore producing the estrogen, ignore producing testosterone.
So when you say cholesterol, you're talking about the good stuff.
Cholesterol.
Cholesterol in general.
Cholesterol in general. Yeah. Not dietary cholesterol, the cholesterol that our body makes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I get on a bit of a soapbox about cholesterol. Do we have time for me to be on my sofa? Yeah, we do.
Let's take a detour.
This is my podcast. Of course we have time. Cholesterol is so important, A, for hormone production. And so it's the backbone for all these hormones. Often when we see elevated levels of cholesterol, it's because there's a hormone deficiency. So the liver is putting out cholesterol to try to buffer this hormone deficiency, kind of feed it down the pathway. But also cholesterol elevation is a sign of inflammation. And inflammation is related to these things we just talked about, the sugar and the bad foods and the, you know, over-drinking and the over-coffeeing and the stress and all those things. So cholesterol is like, when it's not producing hormones, it's like a scab. Its main purpose is to plug leaks in the blood vessels, which are created because of the inflammation. So we have all these things that cause the inflammation, then the liver releases cholesterol, the cholesterol goes and fills the holes. It's just there doing its job. So if we put in drugs that lower the amount of cholesterol, we haven't got to the root cause, which is the stress, the inflammation, the sugar, etc. This is like going to, so it's like going to, like blaming heart disease, heart cardiovascular events on cholesterol is like going to a fire and seeing the fireman there and blaming the fire on the fireman. It's exactly what it's like. Okay, I'm off my soapbox now.
So recapping to where we started, it's that hormones and cholesterol are really important in sleep,
yes.
in good sleep. So getting yes. that on track is important in sleep.
100%, yes.
Mm-hmm. And what are various, so you've mentioned like nutrition, you've mentioned exercise, you've mentioned rest, you've mentioned orgasm, you've mentioned herbs that might be helpful. Are there any other naturopathic or tools that you use that can help people get back on track with having restful, deep, restorative sleeps?
Yeah, so certainly all the stuff we've talked about are things people would do outside of my office, those sort of self-care tools. And in the office, we do acupuncture very effectively for sleep issues. And also the energy work I do called Body Talk can be very effective for sleep issues as well. So those are things that I do in the office. You know, they're not things that you would take home with you and have to do on your own.
Great. Well, I think we've covered a lot of information here and went on some interesting detours. So
Indeed.
Thank you so much
thank
and
you.
Happy sleeping.
Yes, you too.
You've been listening to Tonic Podcast, the podcast of Dr. Tanya Winchester, getting you healthy, happy, and doing what you love. The natural medicines and therapies mentioned in this podcast are not intended as medical advice or as a substitute for seeking medical attention. For any health concern, it's always best to make an appointment to see a licensed medical practitioner. For more articles and blog posts, visit Dr. Tanya, T-O-N-I-A, Winchester.com, or visit us in beautiful Nanaimo, BC at Tonic Naturopathic Clinic. Have a delightful day.